Please turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We will be in Isaiah 40 these next 3 weeks. And I go there. I'm gonna give you a word here on what goes before, because obviously if you're jumping into Isaiah 40, there's 39 chapters that go before. In those 39 chapters, Isaiah had been called or charged with the task of announcing Israel's sin, the bad news. No, it includes some gospel in there, some predictions of Christ coming and things. But if you want to divide the book up in real generally in half, he had to tell the bad news for all these chapters before he could tell the good news. In some ways, you could put it like that. And I'm going to try to focus here on these three times together in Isaiah 40, a little more on actually applying it to us and the general principles, as opposed to trying to give a real detailed treatment of where it exactly fits into Isaiah. I will do that. I have some sermons on Isaiah, some kind of a general overview of that may be in the future. But for today, I did want to set up before I read Isaiah 41 through 11 that, in fact, I'll start with the last verse of 39, that it has been a ministry of judgment, that God's people are going to, the northern kingdoms, Assyria took them in 722, and then in 586, Babylon would take Judah into exile for those 70 years. And this is the ministry that Isaiah was called to. So I guess I'll start with these words to Hezekiah in Isaiah 39 before I get to 40 here. So let's see here. Well, 39:5. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord Almighty. The time will surely come when everything in your palace, all that your fathers have stored up until this day, will be carried off to Babylon." So that's the message Isaiah has been preaching. And I'm going to go on to Isaiah 40. Here's the word that God gave Isaiah for his people. "Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs into his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you remember a time in your life when, like the people of Israel, you had messed up, had gone the wrong direction, done what you ought not have done, and had to pay the consequences of it? Isaiah has had to proclaim that message. And I actually want to think about it. I've included an outline, but I'm going to use the outline But I also want to think about this morning as we're the name of this series for these 3 weeks is Behold Your God. I think in the NIV it said see your Lord or see the Lord. The older translations say behold your God. In terms of today, as we go through it, I want you to think about I've already sort of set up that part of the pastor's work, the preacher's work, is the prophet's work, is giving the bad news. And that's kind of what goes before. I'm not going to go through that. I'm sort of challenging myself even as the preacher to ask you, what ought the preacher be preaching? Yes, he's had to deal with the bad news. It's right to say what the bad news is. And I'm challenging myself and I'm asking you as we go through these points, think about what ought the preacher to preach about? What does God seem to be telling the prophet to preach about? I know that in my own home, I'm better at giving the bad news or telling what's wrong than with encouraging. So I need my own improvement in this. So as Isaiah turns a corner here in his ministry, he turns now to the ministry of comfort, the God of all comfort. And so his ministry is this, the words of comfort to a grieving people. God tells Isaiah, tell my people, would you comfort them? Comfort my people. When we know we've done wrong, when our conscience has been pricked, when we realize, yes, I know what I ought to do and I haven't done it, then a normal effect of that is grief. Is, in some cases, again, dealing with the consequences. Some sins have worse immediate consequences than others. Theirs is going to be pretty severe. He's had to preach a severe message. You're going to be taken out of your home, live as exiles for 70 years. Jeremiah also gives some of the more specifics of that. And so now, but he's preaching again. There's always let me just say this, in these kind of prophecies, there's always an immediate context. There's a future sort of near future context, and then we know there's always an even further future context where it's fulfilled in Christ coming and then even in his second coming. I would put it like this, just kind of a continued background here. When we're looking at prophecies like Isaiah, it's like you're driving from the east to the west and you see the Rocky Mountains in the distance. And all the peaks look like they're just all together in a row. But the closer you get, you realize you come to one mountain, and then there's another a few miles down, and another further down. And of course, that once you get better perspective, you can see that they're scattered in the longer distance. That's how the prophecies are. Some are fulfilled immediately. Some are fulfilled the near future. Some in the further future. So this would be a message to those whom Isaiah has been proclaiming the difficult news, and then even to those once they're in exile would have had this message. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to her. God gives the words of comfort to a grieving people. You need to know that. He brings words of comfort to you from his word this morning. The hymns we've sung, the verses we've read are part of that. Your comfort even today. Her sin has been paid for, he said. Let them know that they've received from the Lord's hand double for their sins. I believe when it says double for their sins, he's saying the consequences that they're going to receive are exactly what is appropriate, and it's enough. And then I'm going to bring them back and plant them back in their land. But for now, let them know the consequences have been paid. There's a touch of grace here, no, because only by God's grace could he say that her sin has been paid for. So that will come in its fullness in the future, an understanding of how that's even possible. But he's giving words of comfort. He's saying very gently, say to her, your service is done. Be tender. You've given her the bad news. Give her the good news. this speaking tenderly and just offering comfort reminds me of something, and my family will remember this, and it was such a unique thing to me. We had a horse and then a second horse that lived across the street from us in Greensboro. Her name was, the one horse's name was Ginger. And she was an old horse, and she had done her time. She'd received her long, and I don't even remember if she had a difficult life before living in the field next to us. But I'd never experienced horses very much. And I loved taking our, I sort of looked for an apple that just began to have some little bitty blemish on it, so I could say, I'm going to take this apple out to Ginger. And it was remarkable to me that I could walk, and she got to know me. And I would walk up quietly and gently, and of course at some point we got to the point we could say her name, but a horse that at first would be sort of frightened of us, we could take her an apple, or we could just, you know, pull some grass up. And this horse would come to us, and we could hand that apple and put it right into her mouth. And she would have comfort, the comfort of that apple, a joyful moment for the horse. And I just think, in terms of relating this, the way that we could go to this, I mean, she was an old horse, and we could bring her comfort, and she would come to us, and it was a gentle and a very just happy moment for us and for her. That's what God is bringing, words of gentle, tender comfort to a grieving people. So God gives words of comfort. That's what the preacher should bring. But also, how do we know this is real? How do we know that this comfort is secure, is guaranteed? Well, that's what the next two points tell us. First is God's glory is what guarantees this comfort. God's glory. Now he's making an announcement, a royal announcement, in verses 3 to 5. Here's how this is going to happen, he's saying. Here's how you're going to receive this remarkable comfort. A king's going to come. The idea here, the description here, is a supernaturally royal, it's a royal entourage, but also a supernatural one, because it's saying, listen, prepare the way for the coming of this news. Make the path straight, prepare the way. But in this case, notice, this is going to be such a remarkable coming. God's glory is going to be such that crooked ways are going to be made straight. Mountains are going to be made low. Valleys are going to be brought up. The rough place is going to become level. The glory of the Lord's been revealed. The good news is coming. And so that's what this voice proclaims. Make the way clear. Now, y'all know this voice comes back. When I was telling you about how the prophecy is fulfilled, a few hundred years later, right, we hear this voice. We see a person speaking this message out in the desert, don't we? John the Baptist. God's glory. Verse 5, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. I've said, having spoken the words of the bad news, now bringing and showing how good the good news is, I've said he's going to speak tenderly to a grieving people. Well, also, because it is his glory that will be revealed, we're going to see God's glory is his attributes, his justice, his goodness, his truth. We're going to see what God's really like through the coming of this royal king, who will come on this path that's being made for him. We're going to see his reputation, his purity, his holiness. His compassion. You know, we rehearse some verses from Isaiah 43. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. They won't overcome you. The fire won't consume you. In that same chapter, he says, "You're my people. I created you for my glory, and I love you." God's saying to you today, "I love you." Unfortunately, we don't think of God that often looking at us and saying, "I love you." As human beings, it's easier in some ways to be the one living in the guilt of the bad news. But God says today, "I love you. My glory guarantees the comfort I bring," God is telling us. So the preacher should preach God's comfort to a grieving people and preach God's glory. And of course, the minister should preach God's word, because God's word secures the comfort he brings. Again, a very familiar words in the next few verses, 6 to 8, ones we're very familiar with. Sometimes I'll say these words after I read the scripture. "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." But the context here is men and women, human beings, we're like the grass. When God's wrath is upon us, the frown of his face toward us is the worst thing we would want. It does. If that's all we had was God's wrath or his frown, then we would be, well, what happens? The Lord blows on the grass and it withers and it's done with. And we're like grass, but thank the Lord, he knows our frame. He knows another image, that we are but dust. And so Jesus is the one who the bruised reed he will not break. The flickering wick he will not extinguish. No, we have his word. God's word stands forever. And all of this message today is part of that word. Comfort my people. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. The word of God stands forever. I would simply mention to you, get his word in your heart. Find those verses that you need in your heart. Verses like, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will not leave you nor forsake you," Jesus said. God made him to be sin who knew no sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." Put his word in your heart. His word stands forever. When you feel the weight of being like the grass, remember, his word stands forever. God's word secures our comfort. We're unreliable for each other. We can't ultimately stand upon one another. We will let each other down. But God's word stands forever. It'll never let us down. We do seek to encourage one another. We seek to encourage one another with his word. But remember, God's word, the word that God is giving to his messenger here, secures the comfort he provides. So then he gets sort of to the message, more of the message itself. And I've said here, God's character authenticates the comfort. Well, he gives the message and then he describes himself. That's what I want to focus on. First, just enjoy the message. What does he say? Run to a high mountain and bring good tidings. Now again, we know, and again, I'm just telling you, you already know this. We see this fulfilled there on the hills of Judea when angels came to shepherds and said, "I bring you good news, glad tidings of great joy. In the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord." Well, that's where we see it fulfilled on one level. But the message is for us today also. Good news. Here's the good news, friends. Here is your God. Now, Next week, we're going to do 12 through 27. I would say, go ahead and read it. You're going to see how incomparable God is. But for today, here's the two ways he describes himself, and we'll finish with this. Here is your God. Now look at the, I'm going to consider it two sides of a coin of just how marvelous and wonderful God is. Verse 10, what do we see? He comes with power. He's stronger than the Babylonians. Isaiah's telling him, and you know, for us, he's stronger than your sin. Stronger than your enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. He comes with power. His arm rules for him. His reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. Those who reject him will get what they have coming. Those who stand upon this rock will have his protection. He comes with power. He's the powerful God. He's a powerful king. He's a shepherd that, well, with David as the earthly example, the lions and the bears come and he takes care of business. He has power. But then it uses that image as well as the sovereign Lord with power. He tends his flock like a shepherd. And he uses the image, I've already used the image, killing the bear and the lion. There's the other image of the shepherd, gathering his lambs in his arms, carrying them close to his heart, gently leading those that have young. He's a powerful king who will defeat our enemies. He's also a shepherd who holds us close, gently leading those that have young. You know, I want you to know this. He is with you. We all face, even tomorrow, we're each going to have challenges that we face tomorrow, even the rest of this day. But I'm thinking of Monday because of the work week, the school week, the whatever, the work at home. God is your shepherd guiding you. Whatever it is, we each have different ones. I mean, whatever it is. No, we won't be there watching each other deal with this. He is with you, though. Whatever circumstances you're facing, he'll lead you, guide you, hold your hand. He'll hold your hand with that one hand and he'll knock down your enemies with the other. He's all powerful and he's all compassionate. His character authenticates the comfort that he brings. And so the preacher, the minister, brings words of comfort to a grieving people. He preaches God's glory, which guarantees the comfort of God's people. He preaches God's word, which secures the comfort. But then we were reminded and we always proclaim God's character. Friends, our Lord has the strength of a warrior, the generosity of a king, and the tenderness of a shepherd. And that is our Lord Jesus, the one who took our sins upon himself and gives us his righteousness and then gives us his spirit to walk with us every step of the way. Let's go to him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I do pray that each person here, perhaps it's your word they need this morning. Perhaps it's a sense of your glory. Perhaps it's a reminder of your character. Perhaps it's a remembrance that as they regret their mistakes, they have your comfort, a word of comfort, that there is forgiveness in Christ. Whatever it is, minister to each of us according to our needs and according to your wise and holy purpose. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.